Evening, everyone. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We'll be there in just a few moments. A quick announcement that I forgot to let Jeff know is I've been told to announce it's the ladies' Bible class. A reminder for the ladies' Bible class, that'll be this Tuesday at 6:30. 6:30 p.m. Tuesday evening here at the building. Tuesday evening. Tonight I want us to have a study entitled Hearing God in the 21st Century. A lot of people today want to know, what is the purpose in life? What does God have in store for me? How do I know what He wants me to do to please Him? How can I be of service to God? And really what everybody is asking when they think through these thoughts is, how can I hear God in the 21st century? People say all we have is the Bible, and is it the Word of God? Is it not? Is it all truth? Is it some truth? Do people have powers today to tell us more about truth on top of the Bible? Well, these are just some of the things that I want to study with us tonight. Let's begin by looking at what people heard from God in the past. Communication in the past. How did people hear God? Well, and from the very beginning, they heard Him through means of direct communication. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are hearing from God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 through 30. It says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food.'" Verse 30. "Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given it every green herb for food, and it was so." These are direct communications from God to Adam and Eve. What is He telling them? Well, He's telling them some very, very basic commands. Here it is. Adam and Eve, I want you to multiply. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over it. Take care of it. Enjoy what food I have provided for you. Pretty simple commands. How do we hear God? Well, they heard Him direct commands. I wish that was the way it was today. It would be a whole lot simpler, perhaps, in some ways when people have different thoughts about Scripture. Then God could just tell them they're wrong. But that's not how it is today, but that's how it was at that time. God spoke directly. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. God again says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it, and He says, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.'" Again, hearing God from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden. Direct commands, direct communication, basic commands. What are they? Again, very simple. Tend the garden, freely eat of everything you see except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A lot of people today want to know what God has in store for their life. People say, "I can't understand the Bible. I can't understand what God wants for me. I wish He could just speak directly to me. Then I would know not to sin. I would know what to do to please Him." I'm not sure if that's the case or not. Adam and Eve had a direct communication line. And what did they do? They were given one thing not to do, and could they keep it? We know that no, they could not keep it, as we continue to read in that story. What other ways did God communicate with people in the Old Testament? Well, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets." By the prophets. It says in various times, in various ways. Well, what were these various ways in the time of the Old Testament? Well, first, visions. God spoke to people in visions. Certainly we could do a whole study over visions and the rest of these things we're going to look at. I'll just focus in on this one verse to explain that this is true. Psalms 89 and 19. says, "Once you spoke in vision to your godly ones." What are one of these various ways that God communicated in the past? Through visions. He also communicated through dreams. Probably for most of you, when you think about dreams, you probably think about Joseph. Genesis chapter 37 and 5, "Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more." God spoke to His righteous ones, through His godly ones, through visions, through dreams, and also through angels. That was another means of direct type of communication that God had with those in times past. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, here's the New Testament. The preacher Philip, it says in Acts 8, 26, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south.'" What did he get up and go do? He got up and preached Jesus, and helped a man, an Ethiopian man, to be baptized and to give his life over to Christ. All of these different ways are really through prophets. That's what we just read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. "And in various ways spoke in times past by prophets." Through prophets. What about today, though? That doesn't help us much for knowing how God can communicate directly to us today. Just wanted to simply look at these ways to understand that this is the way in the past. So how does God speak to us today? Is it in the same way? Well, let's again go back to Hebrews chapter 1, but look at verse 1 and 2 this time. It says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets," verse 2, "has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." Very simply put, how does God speak to us in the 21st century? He speaks through Jesus. That's the communication that we have today. That is the way that we see. I want us to look at a few examples of how we hear God through Jesus. I ask you to turn with me in your New Testament to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, this is the account that we call the Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, Jesus allows Peter, James, and John to see something that the other apostles don't. And from this, we read the account of God speaking and telling us directly who we are to hear and how to hear Him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, is it good for us to be here? If You wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" Verse 5. Pay attention to verse 5 with me. "While He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him.'" Hear Him. God speaks through Jesus. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, plainly, this is God saying, "You want to know how to know My mind? Know the things you should do in your life? Hear My Son. Hear Jesus." Go with me in your Bibles to John. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I want to read verses 44. Verses 44 through 50. There are several different sayings in here that Jesus is speaking of, and He helps explain us a little bit more. Helps us explain a little bit more because in the last verse, God said, "Hear Him." So I thought we were trying to talk about hearing God, not hearing Jesus. Well, Jesus clears this up for us. John chapter 12, verse 44. "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in Me believes not in Me, but in Him who sent Me. And he who sees Me sees Him who sent Me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in Me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears My words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Verse 49 and 50 with me. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Look at these lines that I have for us on the board behind us and in your outlines. God speaks through Jesus. Matthew chapter 17, He says, hear Him. But hang on, I thought we're trying to hear God. Well, Jesus clears this up. In John chapter 12, through these lines, He says, believe not in Me, but in Him. He says, he who sees Me sees Him. I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent Me. In other words, He's saying, if you hear Me speaking, you're hearing God speaking. If you're looking at Me, you're looking at God. Whatever I say, I didn't say it because I think so. I have come here to save you on the authority of My Father. How do we hear God? We hear God through Jesus. Through Jesus. Point B, how do we hear Jesus today? Jesus isn't standing in front of us. We don't have the same means as they did here as we read the New Testament. We don't hear God saying, hear Him. We don't have Jesus looking at us and saying, whatever I say, it's the Father saying it. Well, then how in the world can we hear Jesus today? Well, it's simpler than you might think. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says this, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. What does this all mean? It means this. Study the inspired word of God. How do you hear Jesus? Study the word of God. When someone comes to me and says, I want to know more about the Bible, Adam, can we study? What do I call that? Say, great, let's go have a Bible study. It's not called an Adam study. It's not called a preacher study. And it's not called an elder study. It's not called a, whatever is my opinion, let's study that. It's a Bible study. If any one of you come and ask me any questions, I'm never going to say, well, let me give you my opinion. If I do, I'll preface that and tell you it's my opinion. Chuck says a lot in our Bible classes, if you have any questions, please come to any one of us. We have a lot of wealth of knowledge from our elders and many of us in this congregation that we can pull from. But when we ask questions to each other, we're not asking for opinions. We're asking for the truth of the Word of God. We're asking for God, for His commands. How do we hear Jesus today? Well, we can't speak to Him. We don't have visions today. We don't have dreams today. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to get in the Word of God and study it. Be diligent to be found approved. In other words, don't go around and telling people your opinions. We talked about being a contagious Christian in our last quarter. In no way was I saying be a contagious Christian by going and telling all your friends and neighbors you think something about God. No. Stand on the Word of God. Give the truths. How can we hear God? Study it and explain it and tell it to other people. What's another way that we can hear Jesus today? By just studying the Word of God. Oh, we can follow Jesus' apostles. But wait a minute, why follow Jesus' apostles? I thought you just got through saying that we're not to follow Adam, we're not to follow man, we're only to follow God's Word through God and through Jesus. So why or how can we follow the apostles of the New Testament? They're just men. They're not the Son of God, they're no part of God, they're just disciples of Jesus Christ. I'll ask you to go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. And let's answer these questions. Answer this question. Why follow the apostles? John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says to His apostles, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance of all things that I said to you. Why and how can we follow the apostles to know what God is saying to us? Because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. I often wish that that was still the case today. I stand before you and I study, I make notes. Chuck knows you teach classes and you study all week. and you do everything you can to make sure not to say anything that's false, not to say anything that's bad, only to say encouraging and truths of the Word of God. But at the end of the day, we're still just human, right? We can all mess up. All of the gentlemen know in this room, when you get up and you do announcements, you do a prayer, you do song, at some point or the other, you're probably going to say something wrong, probably say something you didn't mean to, might even make fun of somebody on accident and didn't even mean to. That might happen. And because we're human, because we're not inspired by the Holy Spirit. But how can we hear men then? They're just like us. They can make mistakes. Why? Because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are not. They're not like us. We can hear them. We can follow them. What about John chapter 16? Go with me in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 5, if you would. John chapter 16, 12 through 15. 12 through 15. Jesus, again, is talking to His apostles. And He's telling them. He's preparing them before He leaves them to go back to be with His Father in heaven. He lets them know, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, Jesus is saying, there is so much information I need you to go and preach and teach. You can't retain it all now. He's trying to give it to them in steps, so he doesn't give them too much at one time. Verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Verse 14, He will glorify Me, for He will take care of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Why can we follow these men, the apostles of Jesus Christ? Because first they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, which means they were guided in all truth. All truth. The apostles aren't like us. When we go and we study the Bible with somebody, we need the Bible. The apostles were given the ability through the Holy Spirit, through God. If somebody asked them a question about God, they could just answer it. And it wasn't just their opinion. It was 100% truth. How can we follow the apostles? Because the Holy Spirit filled them. The Holy Spirit gave them powers that we do not have today. What about in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. This gives us an example. A way that we can get authority from the Word of God are through examples. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. This is the account of Peter giving the first account that we have of a gospel sermon. And the first Christians that are made. And then what happens to those Christians after? Well, it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. How can we follow the apostles? Why would we follow them? Because God Himself wrote in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that once you become a Christian, you can continue in the apostles' doctrine because what they say is of God. What they say is of Jesus. How can we hear God today? A lot of people want to know that. They want to know what God wants for their life. What's my purpose? I think at the core what everybody wants to know. What's my purpose? What's my talent? What can I do for God? What can I do for other people? We need to go to the Word of God. Because we can know our purpose. We can hear God. But we hear Him differently than they did in times past in those various ways. We hear the Word of God and His commands simply through Jesus and through Jesus' apostles. I want to answer this question for you this evening as I close up this sermon. But this is a very important part. I ask you to follow with me. I'm going to not have any of these scriptures on behind me. I'm going to have us to turn to these. So I think it's very important that we answer this question because there's a lot of confusion today. I want to answer the question, are there other ways today that we can communicate with God? A lot of people today in religious bodies around the world believe in a few different things. One thing that is believed is that people today can still speak in tongues. I want to clear up speaking in tongues just really fast for those that may not know or for our youth. I want to explain this because this is very important. If you watch any religious study or anything on TV, books, a lot of people say speaking in tongues. You know when you are saved, because then you can speak in tongues. People today see speaking in tongues as something that's completely different than what we read about in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Today, when somebody says you can speak in tongues, what they really mean is that you say a bunch of gibberish. And if they talk as if they're out of their mind, as if they're high on something, drunk on something, and you can't understand any word that they say. And everybody praises and lifts their hands and say, that person has the Holy Spirit. That person can speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not speaking gibberish or speaking anything that nobody knows. The definition of speaking in tongues that we read about in the Bible would be this. Though I think I'm speaking in English, whatever is coming out of my mouth would be that whatever you are, you can hear. So if every single one of you here this afternoon, one of you has spoke French, one Japanese, one Mandarin, whatever it is, I'm speaking English, but you're hearing it in your voice. That is what speaking in tongues is. It is proclaiming the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit allowing those listeners to hear in their own language. What would be the purpose of that? So that everybody, doesn't matter what their background is, can hear the Word of God and be saved by it. Jesus did not come to die on the cross just for one race, one color. He came for all men on the entire earth. Some people believe that you can speak in tongues today. We're going to answer that. Some people believe that there are still prophets. Close to my neighborhood where I live, there's a religious body that I pass by, and they actually have on their sign that they have apostles. And instead of their preacher being called a minister, an evangelist, a pastor, whatever it is, they call him an apostle. Well, let's answer that. Let's see, do people still have the power to be an apostle, to speak in tongues? And we're going to start by looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Many people look at Ephesians chapter 3 and 4 and 5 and say, see, there are apostles, there are prophets today. That is not what the Scripture is saying. It is saying that the Word of God has now been revealed to the apostles we read about in the New Testament, the prophets that were of them. So let's answer this question. Are there other ways today? Well, we just read in John chapter 16 and 13 a minute ago that the apostles were guided in all truth. By this, I want to make this point to you this evening. Does John chapter 16 talk about the apostles were guided into some truth? 50% truth? Almost all truth? No, it says they were guided into all truth. What's that mean? It means everything. God didn't just give the apostles the Holy Spirit to give them some knowledge and then wait a few hundred years to give somebody else some more knowledge. No, the New Testament plainly tells us the apostles were given all truth, 100%, not half. Go with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3. And I believe in your notes it says 1 Peter, but correct that to 2 Peter 1 and 3. It says, as His divine power has given to us all things, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. God has given them, right here in 2 Peter, all things. What has God given us today? All things. He's given us all things. Not half. God doesn't give us some truth in His New Testament and say, but I'm not giving you everything. You'll hear more from prophets. You'll hear more from apostles later. You'll have people that can speak in tongues later in your own generation. That is not what that says. Not at all. Go with me to Jude 3. Jude in verse 3 says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Notice this, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith. The faith has been once for all delivered to the saints. once for all? To answer this question, are there other ways today? That would mean that some people today can speak in tongues. That would mean that some people today are still prophets, are still apostles, still have powers of the Holy Spirit. That would be saying as if God left something out. That would be saying that we read Jude 3 when it says, once for all delivered to the saints. That would be saying that God is lying right here. To say that somebody still needs that power to prophesy today, to tell us things in the future, to tell us new things that are in the New Testament, that would be calling God a liar. I'd be saying that God had the Holy Spirit to write to us, everything's been delivered, but I take that back. I forgot a few things. Brethren, do you really think that God forgot anything? We have the inspired Word of God, not some of the Word of God, not what He remembered and then remembered now later. We plainly read the faith has been once for all delivered. That means Jesus Christ has been delivered for all of eternity, for anybody who will come to Him. And that the Word of God, the New Testament, has been delivered so that anybody who wants to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and wants to hear God in the 21st century, 22nd, 25th, however long this earth continues, you still have the same thing. To hear God, you go to Jesus. To hear God, you go to Jesus' apostles. To hear God, you go to the entire Word of God. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of sums up some of these things that we're saying. I'm giving you statements to prove the point of God that He stands on. But this helps answer this question a little bit more. Are there other ways today? Do some people have the gift to prophesy? Can some people today have the gift of the Holy Spirit? Tongues, speaking in tongues? Well, 1 Corinthians wraps this all up for us by looking at verses 8 through 10 and answers the question very plainly. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, notice this, then that which is in part will be done away. Here's what this says, brethren. Verse 8. Some people have the gift of prophecies. That's going to fail at some point. Some people can speak in tongues. That's going to cease at some point. Some people have all knowledge, like the apostles, to answer any question, answer anything of God. But it says at some point that will vanish away. It says as of right now, these people that have these gifts, they don't know everything of God. They have their special place in history. God is using them to teach people, using them to begin the churches around the world, using them to write what we know as the New Testament. But they don't know everything. There's going to be another man that's going to come after them. We don't just have Matthew. We don't just have Luke. We don't just have 1 Corinthians. We don't have just 1 Peter. It goes all the way through Revelation. It means each time one of these was written, they were being used by God. But at some point, it says when all of this has been completed, every single one of these gifts will be done away with. So I ask you, we have the Word of God, do we not? Is there anything to be added to it? Absolutely not. We have the complete Word of God. God has told us in the verses we just read, it has once been delivered. I have given all things to you, all truth to you, not in part, all things. All things. Go with me to one more verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, Paul writing to the evangelist Timothy, but in doing so, in writing to that young preacher, he's talking to every single one of us who has this question. How can we do God's will? How can we know our purpose in life? Can we know everything God has planned for our life and how to please Him? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 answers this for him and answers it for us. All Scripture. It doesn't say half or part. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice what we just read. Verse 16. What do we need to make sure we're pleasing to God? What do we need to correct our sins? What do we need to make sure that we're following the will of God? All Scripture. It's inspired. If you follow it, it will correct you. It will let you follow correct doctrine. And then verse 17 really answers this question. If we follow the Word of God, isn't there something else left? Doesn't somebody need to prophesy about something? What if God left something out? No, verse 17 says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I ask you, if God left something out and He needed a prophet today, He needed an apostle, He needed some other way to communicate to us besides Jesus, besides the apostles, besides the New Testament for Christianity, then why would He say complete, thoroughly equipped? If we didn't have the complete Word of God, if we were still waiting for people to prophesy to us today, then that would mean that you're not complete. That would mean that you only stand on what you know, which is not everything. Are there other ways today that people can communicate through God to us? Plain and simple, the answer is no. The answer is no. How do we hear God in the 21st century? How do we know His will for our life? It's a whole lot easier than we try to make it. A lot of people in the world around us want to know how, why. They have questions. They have doubts. It's really simple. If you want to know what God has in store for you, then you just need to study and follow the things that you read in the Bible and be a New Testament Christian. But I want to make one final point with you this morning, or this evening, and that is this. We're talking about how do we hear God in the 21st century. But you know what? That's only half of the battle. God doesn't ask you to just hear Him, does He? He asks you to obey. You can hear Him your entire life and never make your way into heaven. You can read the entire Bible front to back, back to front. You can quote it to me. You can be a living, walking Bible. But if you have never obeyed the simple commands that God has asked, you still are going to be lost in your sins. So, further and above hearing, we must obey. And if we have to hear Jesus to hear God, then let's hear Him now. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus tells us, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Friends, it is that simple this evening. Hearing it is only half the battle. If you know the Word of God, you know what you need to do to be saved, stop just hearing, start obeying, or else we will be lost in our sins. If we can help you to believe and be baptized, if we can help you with that baptized part, please let us help you. Let us help you right now as we stand and sing. Won't you come?